Happy Sabbath, everybody. Blessings to all of you, all your households, all your children. Hopefully you enjoyed a good week and peace is in your lives. Poke a little fun at myself. I think maybe they heard I was speaking today. It looks like we have less in numbers. I did want to say thank you for that prayer, because that is definitely what I was going to be talking to you today about. I'm actually going to be talking to you today about puddles and mixing bowls and big fingers and baby proofing. Preface this a little bit by the fact that I think it's important to be honest in the congregation, and I'll say, just to be honest, I think everybody from time to time struggles in their personal relationship with God. Sometimes he seems austere and he seems distant and uncaring. Sometimes he doesn't seem to be too involved. What does that have to do with puddles and mixing bowls and big fingers? Well, today, what I talk to you about is, tomorrow is Father's Day. And as you know, I have a son named Marshall, and I just wanted to talk about how Marshall has helped me to see and understand God better. So I thought we'd have a little fun with this, and just a few things that I have learned that I didn't really think deeply about until I had him. And I think that was God's intent. I think that's why we have children, is to learn and understand about God better. It's kind of funny, Steve Kuhn, told me, he says, you know, you really ought to speak on this. And I said, well, people aren't going to really want to hear about my life and all that. He said, no, you ought to do it. You ought to speak about it. And you kind of hear his voice, go ahead and do it. Steve's not here today. I'm sure he's laughing. Got Murphy, you know, he's telling Shannon, I got Murphy to talk about himself. So I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to speak about that. So the very first lesson is baby proofing. Baby proofing comes at about 8 or 9 months when your kid becomes a toddler. Starts to get into everything, and you hear this story where you have to move everything out of his way, and so we did that, and we moved a ton of stuff out where Marshall couldn't get into it, sharp things, electrical things, breakable things. We moved out of his way, and it made me think about something that I'd never thought about before. And I thought, you know, I wonder what God moved out of my way in my life that I've never even considered. You know, it's pretty easy to think about and focus on what he's put there. You know, this trial or that or this person or that. And he's put him there, and, you know, I have to deal with this. What has he put in my life, or what has he taken out of my life that I could have tripped up and really hurt myself in life with? And I think about jobs that I could have taken, places that I would have chose to live, people in my life, maybe who I would have dated, vacations. How about accidents? You know, all of those things. Do I take time to think about what God moved out of my way? Because you go down that path, and it can be almost a scary path. And that's why God asks us, you know, to focus on his love, focus on his light, focus on his son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's a little scary to look out and see what could have been. And gratitude then comes in, right? You begin to really think about, boy, he really has directed my path. And I went ahead and put down Psalm 23, and I'm going to read that just a part of. Oh, here I go. I've got my glasses here. I look down, and I'm telling you, I can't see. So just the first four verses. We've read this a number of times. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And the point that I want to make here is God has baby-proofed my life. He's baby-proofed our lives. He's removed things, and he has set a path of light for us, that we can't get into things. And just a little humorous thing, we've also trained Marshall to, you know, obey mommy and daddy, and he's learned very early, whenever he picks up a channel changer, he says, dad-ass, dad-ass, that's dad-ass. Don't know how long that'll last, but channel changer is mine. The second thing is puddles. What do puddles have to do with Father's Day? Well, when Marshall was about a year old, I took him out to the house, and it would have been raining, as it often does here, endlessly, and there were these huge puddles all over the place. And we put his rubber boots on, because he's not allowed to go out in the puddles without his rubber boots, so we go out there. And he disappeared in those puddles. I mean, didn't disappear completely. He started stomping those puddles and making a mess. And he went from one puddle to another to another. And you know, the entire time, I was right above him. I was watching everything, just thrilled to watch. And of course, you know, he came home soaked. But he went, and this went on and on and on. And you know, He went on for about 15 minutes and finally looked up to me and went, you know, he had a smile on his face. He looked up to me, oh, hi, Dad. You know, hi, Daddy. You know, oh, yeah, okay, you're here. That's right. You're part of my life and everything. And then that little lesson I learned, you know, how much do we disconnect from God, being busy in our lives, especially in the society that we live in? He's watching us. He's right over our heads. He's looking at us. He knows our every move, counts the hairs on our head, knows that. So he watches over us patiently and waits for us to come back to him, doesn't he? But you don't think about these things. You know, he's helped me in that regard. You know, God has done that in my life. He's done that in your life. God does patiently wait for us. And I wrote Isaiah 49 and verse 15. It's one of my favorite scriptures. God, the scriptures here talking about Israel. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. This is talking about society. I've read this one before. But can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? You know, we all have imperfect parents, don't we? And some of us have experienced bad situations in parenting. But you know, God, what God says here, he says, you know, you may be in that situation. He says, yeah, I will not forget you. You see, I have you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And other verses, it says that he has your name inscribed upon his hands. Now, God is really right there all the time. No matter how far you go, no matter how many puddles you get into, he's standing there watching you. Number three is big finger, go away. Now, what this is very often I'll be reading or looking at the computer or doing something, and Marshall will be playing, and he'll come in and he'll say, finger, Daddy, finger. And what that means, you know, he grabs my finger. And go away means, he doesn't mean for you to go away, it means let's go away, let's go do something. And often I found that he doesn't necessarily want me engaged in what he's doing. Often he doesn't want me engaged in what he's doing. He just wants me there. He just wants me to be there with him, you know. And God sometimes just wants us to come and spend time with him. This one, you know, it's kind of funny that I bring this up, because I'm finding that having a child makes it more difficult to actually get alone and spend time alone with God. But he really does want us to spend time alone. And, you know, I picture, if you might, you know, God's finger's about this big to me. I don't know how big it is to you. You know, God puts his little finger down and says, you know, let's just go away and be alone for a second. You know, he's asking us to do that all the time. And you know what? It is the hardest thing sometimes to grab his finger and just go sit and be. I'll tell you, it's been really hard lately. We've been really busy. And you know, we need to do that. We need to all do that. And that was just one more lesson that, you know, I need to spend more time with God. I need to grab his big finger and make it my priority, like Marshall does with me. Sometimes he just wants me to be with him, which is really sweet. I really wonder if he didn't want to be with me. Number four, I wrote down, Marshall and I, and Mom, Jill, we went to the San Diego Zoo, and he really enjoyed that. He loves animals, and you know, he makes all the sounds of the animals and all. And I could see in his eyes, you know, he doesn't look at me and goes, you know, I really appreciate you. But I could tell by the look on his face that he really appreciated the experience. You know, he doesn't know I paid $1,400 for a ticket to get in that place, but it's expensive. But he really did appreciate it. And you know, God wants to hear that out of us. It really made me think driving away. You know, Marshall really appreciates the things I do for him. You know, someday, you know, I know he's only 22 months now, tomorrow 22 months, but someday he might not as much as he does now, but he does. And things are going to change, I know, when I get older, but he really does right now. And it just kind of set home with me. It was, you know, God wants to be appreciated. Do you praise God for all the good things he does for you? Do you take time to count the blessings? Tomorrow certainly is one of those days we can do that, regardless of the parental experience we had. We can take time to really just say, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you've done in my life. I wrote down Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. And this is one that I've actually struggled with. Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, verse 7 through 11. I want to read the whole thing there, if I might. This one's been challenging for me, and I might share that with you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who receives, asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Then you, being humanly speaking, carnal, even being evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you those things you ask of him? Another thing just to remember is he is about giving us good things. And I've struggled a little bit with that because there are some things that in my mind, I think are good. I want more love. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to serve people more. Those things aren't moving in my life the way I'd like them to. But I know because the scripture says that he's going to do it. So he is a provider of good gifts, and we're to appreciate him. The next one is mixing bowls. I wrote that down. About a month ago, Marshall came into the house. He was out playing in the dirt outside, playing and making a mess. And he marched right in, right beyond me, right beyond his mother, went to the cabinet, grabbed a mixing bowl, closed the cabinet, walked out. Apparently, it was important enough for him while he's playing with dirt to have a mixing bowl. But it amazed me. And, you know, that you think about, well, it's not that big of a deal, but it was actually very interesting, and I realized how much he's changing. And they do change an awful lot at this age. They change almost every day. But I really have enjoyed watching him grow. Just change. He was able to speak. Now he's hitting that patch of the twos. But I've really enjoyed watching him do what he does and change and grow. God's the same way. You know, we tend to be kind of critical on ourselves and seeing ourselves grow. We tend to think, I'm really not growing the level that I want to be growing. But you are. You really are. You're here. You change. You change in little increments in life, don't you? And God understands that. And it's another lesson that I learned. The last one that I have here is, and this was a tough one for me because I was driving. I remember where I was. I was driving down 405 right down by Kennedale Hill in Renton. And all of a sudden, a chemical thing had changed in me. And I was either praying or I was thinking about this situation. I was thinking, what about Marshall? Is he going to make it into God's kingdom? And I thought, wow, you know, that would be really, really hard. You know, what if he doesn't make it? And of course, you know, I don't really expect that. And I think God will work things out in his life. And now I understand how all of you who have children have been so concerned about your children. It's tough. I'm trying to stay away from the crying sermon men's list. But God does really want us there, doesn't he? Well, I'm in the club. I made it. I don't know if there's a secret handshake for that sort of thing, Gary, or what. But he does want us in his kingdom. You know, he says that many mansions have for you. You know, I thought I was going to tell a little joke here. It's kind of a funny. Jill's training Marshall, and we're training Marshall, and she says, "You know, I just realized it's a lot like having puppies, dogs. You just train them just like dogs. Kids are just like dogs." I thought, well, that's kind of rude. She said, well, it works. She says, the other day I was working with him, and I was working, you know, walk. He was having a hard time stopping. And I said, she said, well, this is how it works. You walk a little bit, you ask him to stop, and he stops, and you give him a treat. And okay. So, and now he, and it's been working. He stops and give him a treat, and so that's a good deal. All right. So I did that. I'm walking. You know, I was training him on something, and I'm walking, and I asked him to stop, and sure enough, he stopped. I gave him a little piece of milk bone. Worked out great. Not a full piece. So, no funny there. If you notice, his teeth are much whiter and brighter. So, he has an awful case of dog breath, however. Tomorrow is Father's Day. No better time than to honor God our Father in heaven. To remember the puddles and the mixing bowls and all those things. To remember that he wants us in his kingdom. To remember that he loves us and he wants to spend time with us. To remember that he loves watching us grow. All those things are really important. No better time to honor God than tomorrow. Take a little extra time that we've talked about. Also, today would be one of those days where we could take time to honor those men that have been in our congregation forever. You know, I wrote down some names and thought I'd tease Carl a little bit. Carl's been here since the mid-1800s. And he's been like a father to me. I've gotten to know and love Carl and be a good friend of his. And I can say that he's been here since the 1800s because it's true. Enjoy your Father's Day and remember how much God loves you.